Thank you. I'm going to get that out of the way, too. I have nothing to disclose, although my slide did not apparently make it into my presentation. So the title of my presentation this afternoon is Understanding the Resilience of Vulnerable Populations, the Impact of the Deepwater Horizon Oil Spill on Women in Louisiana. So the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig exploded on April 20th, 2010, killing 11 people and causing almost 5 million barrels of oil to flow into the Gulf of Mexico. This is considered to be the largest accidental marine oil spill in the history of the petroleum industry. It resulted in widespread economic, environmental, and population health damage. We've also seen prior research that's demonstrated associations between poor mental health and exposure to disasters, including the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Another important point is that in this particular disaster, it occurred in a unique context in that this population has been repeatedly traumatized by a series of disasters in recent years, both natural and man-made. Specifically, we had Hurricanes Katrina and Rita in 2005, followed by a number of other hurricanes thereafter, most recently with Hurricane Isaac in 2012. Now, resilience has been an often discussed concept in the disaster field. We view it as a process rather than an outcome, and we define it as the capacity of a system to withstand or recover from significant disturbances that threaten it. Recently, there have been many calls for research, for more research on resilience that can be applied to post-disaster settings. Specifically, we're interested in how mental health in a post-disaster setting is shaped by resilience. This led to the development of the Resilience Activation Framework by a group of researchers from four university consortia in the Gulf region that have been working on the studies of the health effects of the BP oil spill. The first premise of this framework is that exposure to harm leads to negative mental health outcomes. We already know that communities along the Gulf Coast were significantly impacted by the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. That's the exposure to harm here. And several studies have already started showing that exposure to this disaster is significantly associated with negative mental health outcomes. And this, of course, has been shown to be true in other disasters as well. We also know that resources inherent in individuals and communities can be strong predictors of post-disaster mental health, but we don't yet have a clear idea of how exactly these attributes shape the link between exposure to harm and individual mental health. This framework posits that resilience attributes must be activated through things like informal social supports and health and social system interventions in order to positively impact mental health. So I just want to briefly talk about what we mean by both resilience attributes and resilience activation, both of which may counter the effects of an event or a disaster. The resilience attributes that we're talking about have been grouped into four categories, or four capital. We have human capital, economic capital, social capital, and political capital. These are essentially resources that are possessed by either individuals or communities. A type of human capital, for example, might be good individual health. A type of economic capital might be access to individual savings. Social capital could be the presence of strong social networks, while political capital might be expressed in strong government infrastructure. So these resources exist or are inherent in individuals or communities to varying degrees, and they can interact with each other. So this framework assumes that an individual or community with access to these resources will be able to call upon them to help buffer the effects of a catastrophic event. On the other side of the equation, we have resilience activation. Again, alongside these four capital, we have the assumption is that the inherent pre-disaster resilience attributes that we just talked about are activated after a disaster. So some examples of different types of resilience activation include establishing access to healthcare systems, facilitating the ability to acquire funds, leveraging networks of community-based organizations, and prioritizing collective action. So these are just some examples of how we can define resilience activation and attributes, but there are many ways that you could actually look at this framework. So the objective of our study was to test how access to services facilitates the activation of resilience attributes that contribute to depression among women exposed to the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Specifically, we also want to test whether activation of resources mediates the effect of oil spill exposure on depression. And to do this, we'll use data from the Women and Their Children's Health Study. This is the WATCH study, which is a prospective cohort study of the long-term health effects of women exposed to the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. We have a population sample of about 2,500 women in our wave one, and the data that we're going to be using today came from a telephone survey that was conducted between July of 2012 and June of 2014. So the women were between the ages of 18 and 80 years old, and they lived in one of seven Louisiana Gulf parishes at the time of the oil spill. And this map shows where these parishes or counties are located in the study, and they're all coastal areas along the Gulf. So our sample size was 2,505 women. 58% of them were white, 71% had a high school education or less, 46% of the sample had an annual pre-oil spill household income of $40,000 or less, and 63% reported being married or living with a partner. We used structural equations modeling to assess the fit of a proposed latent variable model for exposure to the oil, resilience attributes, resilience activation, and their impact on depression. And our model was controlled for race, education, marital status, age, and pre-oil spill household income. So this was the model we tested, which essentially follows the resilience activation framework that I just discussed a moment ago. So our mental health outcome is depression, which we measured using the 20-item CESD scale. And we used the established cutoff point of 16 to indicate people with depressive symptomatology. And you can see that about 28% of our samples scored at this level, which is a little bit higher than what we might expect to see in a national sample. Exposure to harm was defined as exposure to the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, which occurred on April 20th of 2010. And so this was a latent construct that was defined from these nine items that came from our telephone survey. They had to do with the influence of the spill on the household's financial situation, whether the spill affected recreational activities, whether there was any income loss due to the oil spill, how much they smelled the oil, other physical contact with the oil, and so on. And then we separated out the resilience attributes into individual resilience attributes and community resilience attributes. So here you can see that for the individual resilience, we used a latent variable that was measured from two scales at the individual level, general self-efficacy and social support. While our community resilience was measured using three different scales, one from social cohesion, a measure of social cohesion, which is a measure of the social interaction within neighborhoods. We used a scale of informal social control, which is a measure of the ability of a neighborhood to maintain social order. And then we also looked at neighborhood organization participation, or a measure of formally organized collective social activity. And then finally, we measured resilience activation as a latent variable as well, based on whether any of eight services were needed in the year immediately following the oil spill. And so the eight service areas that we looked at were food, utilities, employment services, housing, legal services, transportation, clothing, and child care. And what you see here are the proportions of women in our sample who needed and received any of these services. Okay, so these are the results from our structural equations analysis. We first, as I implied in the previous slides, we first used a measurement model to identify the appropriate factors with confirmatory factor analysis. That all worked out well. And then we looked at the full structural model, which is what we have here, where we have the directional paths between the underlying factors. And all the different paths were statistically significant. Thank you. So I just wanted to kind of simplify the model into something that was a little bit more easily read. And the first thing we see here is that exposure to the oil spill is associated with depression. So the more women were exposed to the oil spill, the more likely they were to be depressed. We also see that both individual resilience attributes and community attributes are significantly associated with resilience activation. So individual resilience attributes were positively associated with resilience activation, which was expected, meaning that things like more self-efficacy and more social support were related to more receipt of needed services. But community resilience, on the other hand, was negatively associated with receipt of needed services, which was not quite expected by us. So in other words, things like more social cohesion, more informal social control was associated with less resilience activation. So this is something that we obviously want to take a closer look at. We also see that exposure is negatively associated with resilience activation. So the more exposure, the less activation, and that resilience activation was negatively associated with depression. So the more activation, the less depression that we saw. So each of these things were in the expected direction. Moreover, this indirect pathway between exposure to the oil spill, resilience activation, and depression was also significant, meaning that resilience activation partially mediated the relationship between exposure to the oil spill and depression. And so about 31% of the total effect of the exposure to the oil spill on depression was explained by this mediating factor of resilience activation. So this preliminary analysis lends support for the resilience activation framework as a guiding model for explaining how individual and social resources work to mitigate the harmful effects of disasters on mental health. Resilience attributes, particularly individual ones such as general self-efficacy and social support, are predictive of resilience activation, or in this case, the receipt of needed services. And resilience activation mediates the relationship between exposure to the oil spill and increased depression. So understanding the mechanisms that influence mental health outcomes may help explain how individuals are able to maintain or regain their mental health status after a crisis such as the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, and they suggest that it may be possible to design interventions such as improved access to resources in order to alleviate mental health distress. And of course, just quickly, a couple of limitations of this analysis was that it was a cross-sectional study design. We're really only using the results from wave one of our data collection. We had no pre-oil spill exposure data available to us, so we really don't have any ability to infer causality from this. Also, the WATCH study was not designed to test this particular framework. In fact, the framework was only developed after data collection had already begun for this study, so it's possible that more appropriate measures could be developed to test the resilience activation framework. Now, we do plan to continue working on this, and some of our next steps include testing other configurations of the model. We've assumed, for example, that resilience attributes are inherent, but it is possible that exposure to the disaster can actually affect those inherent attributes, and so the model may need to be reconfigured. And there also are probably other ways of operationalizing some of the key constructs that we use. So, for example, we only tested resilience attributes of human capital and social capital, but there may be other measures of economic capital and political capital that are equally relevant as well. The resilience activation measure that we used involved the use of 8 service areas, which were all given equal weight. It's possible that some of those service areas may be more relevant than others, or that there may be some other areas or resources that we haven't measured that ought to be included as well. So there are many ways of looking at and operationalizing this framework, but these results show us that this is a pretty good start using the framework in order to identify mechanisms that influence mental health after a disaster. And so I just want to acknowledge and thank the women and children who are participating in the WATCH study, as well as our very hardworking research staff. And so I'm going to leave questions for later. Okay. Thank you.